We are created like who? And when we get saved, the restoration starts taking place where God starts restoring back to us all the likeness of God. And one of those things, and this was a process in Peter's life, was to birth in him a desire to do the impossible, which he did. In the midst of a stormy sea, a desire to walk in a power far beyond his own was awakened in Peter. Once you see someone do the impossible, it'll stir you. It will. It'll say, oh man, I want to do that. How did you do that? I got desperate enough. I just got desperate enough. I ran out of something and he filled it. I had no other options. Brother Charles does a message. Charles Simpson. By the way, he's coming to this area in November. It'd be great if you'd take his meetings. He'll be at Carpenter Community Church on a Sunday night. But anyway, just a little advertisement there. I forgot what I was going to say. What? Yeah, against all odds. Thank you. And he talks, one of the things that God loves to do, and you won't like this, you'll like it after you experience the dunamis, but he loves stacking the deck against himself. How many of you have ever been in a bad situation and said it couldn't get any worse than this? And all of a sudden it got real worse. It wasn't, and I want to know, it wasn't the devil's doing, it was God. He's wanting you to get desperate enough or empty you of what you know so he can fill you of what he knows. Empty you of what you can do so he can fill you with what he can do. God doesn't want to be one of many options. He wants to be the only option. A lot of times he'll allow you to play all your other options until you have no option but him, and then you find out he was the only option to begin with. But you never would have known that until you got out in the middle of a stormy lake and you're about to be sunk, and here he comes walking and you don't have any other choice bidding me come. Verse 29, he said, come. What an extraordinary invitation. I love it. He said, come. I'm doing it. Come on. He didn't say, forget it, Peter. You're not God. And he said, come on. There's something in you. I created you to be like me. There's something. Come on, you can do it. How many of you ever tried to encourage your children to walk? Because you know it's inherent in them that they can do it. So you encourage them. You say, come. Come on. Walk. That's what the Lord's doing. He said, come on. It's in there. Come on. You awakened it. You said, all right. Come on now. How many know, and we don't read this because they don't tell him, but how many know the other disciples are probably thinking, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? What an extraordinary invitation. It's an invitation into the supernatural. It's an invitation to live in a power that's beyond our own. Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, and then he goes on to say, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 10:27 says, looking upon them, Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The word possible there is the Greek word dunamis. It's not dunamis, it's a derivative of it. I can use the word derivative in the sense of Greek. But which means having an enabling power. When the dunamis comes on you, you have dunamis. It's an enablement. It's an equipping. The word impossible is the Greek word adunatus. Same word, but there's an A in front of it, which means to be weak, without power, not able to do. I want to tell you very clearly, before you can get in on the dunatus, you've got to come to a place of adunatus. You've got to get, God's got to get you to a place where you have no power. Where you are empty of what you know. You've exhausted. You are void of anything. And then that void, God fills with dunamis. When the I can't man meets the I can God, the impossible takes place. I firmly believe his I can, the dunamis, is birthed out of my I can't. It's when I finally, after my rowing, trying to get through this storm, exhausted everything, and I say, I can't. The Spirit rises up and says, but I can. Do you understand? Now that's tough. Because what God has to do is get us to a place where we are helpless. We are desperate. Again, God says, go to the other side. We start rowing. Here comes a storm. Back to the shore. Let's wait for a better day. God says, nah, the storm is part of the plan. Because it's going to create a dunamis in your life. And when that happens, dunamis will happen. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says it this way, and this is Paul speaking, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, dunamis, the word there power is the Greek word dunamis, is perfected, and the Greek word perfected is teleo, and it means to fill to the full that which has been emptied, is that the dunamis comes on you to fill up what the circumstances has emptied. Now, it's bearing in mind that you've allowed God to put you in the circumstance that emptied you so that the dunamis can fill you. Most of us don't like to be put in those circumstances. And we don't ever find the power to live beyond our own. He says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, a dunatus, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. The power there is dunatus. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, when I am a dunatus, then I am strong. Dunatus. I have an enabling power to do. When I get to a place where I can't do, the Spirit comes on and says, but I can do. Does that make sense? But the key is we want that power before we get there. God says, no, I have to empty you before I can fill you. The filling's great. The emptying is tough. When the store emptied Peter of what he could do, he was then filled with what only God can do. Peter's I can't was turned into his I can. The end of your strength is the beginning of God's. God's power shows up best in weak people. Shows up best. Verse 29, Peter got out of the boat. Peter had to respond to the invitation to come. I mean, he was, how many know he was desperate, and he says, bid me come. And when Jesus said, come, now the moment of truth. How many of you said, Lord, I'll do anything. And you're feeling your oats. You say, oh, I don't care what it is. And then he tells you, yeah, well, anything but that. So you have to respond. Peter had to respond to the invitation to come. Miracles don't happen when you sit in doubt, but when you're moving in faith. Peter had to give faith, feet to his faith. Let me tell you, though the boat was inadequate, it was safe. There was some degree of safety. The boat couldn't move him forward, but at least it kept him from sinking. The key is in the midst of that, and I want you to know there are a lot of Christians in situations that are inadequate. They're not, I mean, but they're safe. They're not really what you want to do, whether it's your vocation or anything. They don't really meet the kind of needs that you have. They're inadequate, but at least they're safe. They don't move you forward in life, but they do keep you from sinking in life. And so you stay in the boat because you're not sinking and there's some degree of safety. Stepping out into the water, stormy and everything, that's a risk. All miracles are comprised of two parts, God's part, the supernatural, our part, the natural. The miracle wasn't that Peter walked. How many know he walked every day of his life? That's natural. The miracle was that he didn't sink. He had to do the natural before the supernatural took place. He had to do the natural. God always works the supernatural within the context of the natural. Like Moses, in Exodus 4, 1 and 2, he says, how am I going to do that? The Lord says, what's in your hand? I'm going to use something natural in your life to bring about the supernatural deliverance of your people. What's in your hand? He says, there's a sceptre, a stick here. He said, okay, a staff, that's what we're going to use. It's natural, you've used it a lot with the sheep, we're just going to use it in a different way. As you use this natural stick, I'm going to do something supernatural. With David, he used a pebble. He flung pebbles all his life with the slung pebbles. But God used it, the natural, to do the supernatural and slay the giant. A little boy has 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Natural. It's probably his lunch he had every day. He must have been a big boy. He said, I got a lunch here. It's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or is it 5 fish and 2 loaves? Anyway, it was a lot of lunch for a little boy. Natural thing. And God used the natural. God just didn't pick it out of the air. He took the natural and he did something supernatural with it. Laying on of hands, the Bible tells us. That's natural. We do it. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of compassion. Something we do a lot. When I have my children are sick, I lay hands on them. When I make people mad, they lay hands on me. Quit laughing. No. Anointing somebody's head with oil is a natural expression. But it's in that context that God does the supernatural. All of these are natural acts that demonstrate natural concern and compassion are used by God to vault us or springboard us into the supernatural elements of God, which all of us need to do. That's why I lay hands on people a lot. God said do it. Sometimes the supernatural happens, sometimes it doesn't happen, but I'm going to give him the opportunity in my natural expression for him to do something supernatural. I can't sit there and say, well, nothing's going to happen, so I'm not going to do it. You let me feel the supernatural first, God, then I'll do the natural. God said, that's not how it works. Works is do the natural. Supernatural works in the context of the natural, not the other way around. Does that make sense? Without a willingness to start moving in the natural, we may never receive the supernatural. So it's very important. Verse 30. This is the part we dread. He starts sinking. He says, Lord, save me! What happens to Peter happens to all of us who would walk in supernatural. His faith is tested. As long as Peter kept his eyes on the source of his faith, he was okay. But when he takes his eyes off the Lord and distracted by the circumstances, he suddenly realizes how impossible it is to be doing what he was doing. The enemy will try to get your eyes off what the Lord is doing and put it on the circumstances that are around you. Diane and I moved up here. We left the ministry. We left a lot of things. And we came up here and we had faith. But then all of a sudden, I started getting distracted and looking at it, looking at the finances, looking at the mailing list, looking at people there, looking at there. And I saw how impossible. And I started sinking in my faith, started doubting whether I should have came to Lancaster County. Anytime that happens, I mean, when you start moving in the Lord, you keep your eyes on the Lord, what He's doing. Because as soon as you put it around you, if you go down in Lancaster to witness, and you start looking around and seeing people sitting on their porches and are looking mean at you and everything like that, and you're thinking, man, this is impossible. And when you start thinking about your circumstances, you begin to sink. But as long as he kept his eyes. Peter's unbelief did not affect. Now I want you to see this. His unbelief did not affect his natural ability. He could still walk. But what he couldn't do is stay afloat. If he had to, he could swim. There's nothing wrong with swimming unless God wants you walking on water. Okay, I mean, there really isn't anything wrong with swimming. And a lot of us say, we start out in the spirit and we end up in the flesh. I mean, we're out there and we're walking on water in a prison ministry. I mean, we're doing things we never thought we could do. And all of a sudden, man, we look around and see how impossible it is. And all of a sudden, our day, and we start swimming in our own strength. And the things that happened at one time in our ministry isn't happening anymore. And there's nothing wrong with swimming. There is some degree of effect to that, but it is wrong if God would have you start walking in the supernatural, in a power that's beyond your own. Fortunately for Peter and for us, he returned his focus back on the Lord. He was able to recover his miracle. When he did, the scripture said the Lord immediately stretched forth his hand. The Lord was wanting him to do this more than he was wanting to do it. And I want you to know the Lord is always wanting us to do it. He wants us. If we could somehow figure out how much, if we could sense how much he wants us to want him. The Lord's arm is always long enough and he's always close enough to save us. He recovered his miracle. He walked in a power far beyond his own. He had an adventure in faith, by the way, the first of many adventures in faith. And it kept him. Peter had part of a miracle. Even though he faltered in it, he still saw the power of God. God. I reverted back to my holy tone. He every now and then, that's how I first started preaching on. He's like, God. But I don't say that anymore. Just regular God. Jesus. I can't say Jesus without smiling though. Even though he faltered, he still saw the power of God. And better than that, he lived it. He lived in the power of God. I know he had a miracle by the skin of his teeth, but how many know a miracle by the skin of your teeth is better than no miracle at all? It's better than no miracle at all. Peter had the first of many adventures. All of us need adventures. Diane and I are fond of saying when God gives us something to do, a retreat, before we go, we say, and the adventure begins. Because we know it's going to be an adventure. We know the enemy's going to attack. There's going to be warfare. There's going to be all kinds of things. We're going to get desperate enough to step out of the boat and we're going to see God do something we never thought. The impossible becomes possible. And we come away saying, we knew it all the time. God wants us to live a life that is a balance of the natural and the supernatural. He wants to turn our I can't into his I can. God wants us to live in a power that is beyond our own. Let's stand and pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for this time of ministry, Lord. You have ministered richly to us by your Spirit. Lord, we want to be people that will walk in the dunamis power of God. Lord, because we face impossible situations and we need for those to become possible by your Spirit. Lord, help us to be in tune with your ear when you tell us to go to the other side. And Lord, and as we obey you and start moving and the storm comes, Lord, that we won't go back to the safety of the port. We don't want to be port Christians. We want to be Christians that will weather the storms and in the midst of the storm become desperate enough and helpless enough to begin to walk in a power that is far beyond our own so that we might be able to be vehicles in which you can do the dunamis power of God through and change a world that desperately needs to be changed. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.